afraid to ask that question because so many people are sick. We lost everybody in our sound booth. So I appreciate Jacob and Lisa stepping up and stepping in there. But too many people are sick. Anybody? I mean, just wrestling with just trying to speak. All right. Let me see what I want to go with. Anybody have a good week? Anybody enjoy the rain? You know, I always find it funny when I talk about it because a lot of people, they like summer. How many like the winter? How many like winter? How many like summer? How many like them both? All right. Because I tell people all the time, I like the summer because it feels so good. You walk out and it's warm and it just feels good. Anybody out? You know? But then I also enjoy the winter, especially this week, a lot of the rain, and it looks so nice. Things just kind of get washed down, and you walk out, and it smells so good. Anybody, you know, I think both of them are really, you know, it's a good time. And so I've had a great week and a lot of good things going on. I'm excited about this coming week. I'm wrapping up this sermon series for those who are joining us for the first time. I've been doing a series on life, I'm done. Right after the holidays, you know, you wrap up the holidays, family home, the presents, everything. All of a sudden, you get the bills in the mail. You know, all the credit card charges for Christmas. Anybody? You know, you got all this stuff going on from Christmas, and it's just, you just feel overwhelmed, or you feel stressed out. And so, I did a couple of messages on being overwhelmed and stressed out and burned out, and how do we deal with life? Well, I kind of wanted to wrap up the series in a positive way. I want us to kind of think of a positive way and look at life in a more positive way and seeing what's going on. Because here's what I want you to get your little outline out of your worship folder. But I want to ask you this. How many of you here feel that the best years of your life are still ahead of you? Anybody? That the best years of your life are still ahead of you. See, I look back over my life. Maybe you have not had a really good life up to this point. Maybe you've had some struggles and some battles and some issues in life, and it's just been okay, or maybe even bad. I want to tell you, the best years are still, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, you know, the best years are still ahead. I am 61 years old, all right, and I've had some issues going through life. I've had my battles, my ups and downs. I think most of us have, but I want to tell you what, I still believe the best years are still ahead of me. I mean, if Moses at 80 years could lead Israel out of Egypt, I think I can do great things at 61. He was 80, okay? I don't know if I'm going to live to be 120. I don't even know if I want to live to be 20, you know? But I feel the best years are still ahead. But here's the challenge. What determines those best years are you. See, I get frustrated when I deal with people who are blaming all their situations in their life on all the stuff out there. Well, if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for that, if it hadn't been that, and they blame all the stuff for stuff outside that they have no control over. But what I understand is that a great life for you is determined by your choices and decisions with your opportunities. It's those decisions you make, those ways that paths you choose to go. It is what you happen to make out of what you have in your life. See, I want to tell you something. I want to have a great life. Anybody want to have a great life? I want to have a great life. I want to accomplish something with my life. Now, greatness, I'm going to tell you, and I want that for you. As you know, as a pastor, that's what I want for everybody. This morning as I prayed, everyone, I kind of go down, so don't move your seats. You guys mess me all up. Some of you already moved. You're usually sitting over here, and you're sitting over there now. You mess me up. You know, because I pray for you guys every Sunday morning at least every Sunday morning. And I pray for you because I want you guys to have a great life. And I'm not talking about being famous. I'm not talking about having a lot of wealth and achieving a lot of goals and making a name and having all these possessions, you know, a bigger home, newer car. I'm not all that. I'm talking about having a life that matters. A life that, I put it this way for myself, that God appreciates and that I enjoy. I want a life that God appreciates and that I enjoy. And I see that as having a loving life where I'm loving others and others love me. Anybody want to be loved? You know, and cared for? You know, I see that as being a caring, compassionate person. It has nothing to do with those outside things that we so often measure life for. And so as I tried to figure out what I wanted, when I'm looking at life and saying I'm done with it, I'm really done with all those external things. It really comes in with what's in me. So I wrote the word down as I thought about the message. I want to be good in my soul. I want to be great in my soul. In who I am. Not all that stuff out there. See, it makes a difference. That makes a difference in my choices. So how do we become good? How do we have this great life? And so I got three things here. I want to kind of lay a foundation for the message this morning. Because I want to kind of give you an idea. What does it mean to have a great life? So I have this. Number one, it says this. If you look at your outline. Give yourself to a purpose greater than yourself. If you want a great life, you want to do something in your life, you got to basically give your life away. You got to have a bigger purpose than in yourself. Is it accumulating stuff? If you want to accumulate stuff, go to my garage, okay? You cannot walk through my garage. I got a path about that wide through my garage. And it's a two-car garage. Yeah. And not only that, that the garage is stacked that high with boxes of stuff, okay? Now, just so you know what most of it is vacation Bible school stuff that we've done conferences that were in the Korean conferences that were just different things. So they say, we're going to do a thing on the forest. Well, I can pull out a box full of stuff on decorating for forests. And I've kept all that stuff. But I have a garage packed full of stuff. Plus, I also got Mickey Mouse stuff and Disney stuff. I got to admit that, you know. Yeah. But, you know, if we measure life by what we got, you know, I can get a big old semi-truck and fill it all up and see who gets the fullest truck, right? You know, what's your purpose in life that you see in your life? Is it about your selfishness? About your achievements, about your goals, about what you want, what you like, what you want to have? Is that what you see as your life? See, is there a purpose greater than yourself? Is there something bigger than you for a great life? The second one I put down here is you got to join great people committed to that purpose. You can't do it by yourself. You cannot become great by yourself. All right? I'm watching football right now. Anybody been watching some football games? There's some great quarterbacks out there, right, that haven't nobody to help them right now. I've seen some great quarterbacks, but their receivers keep dropping the ball. Anybody? You know? You got to have those around you to be great. You can't do it by yourself. You got to watch who you associate with. You got to get with the right kind of people. You got to get with people who have a purpose in their life, that are going somewhere. If you want to be great, you got to have that great purpose, but you got to get with great people to do that. You can't do it by yourself. And the third thing I put down here is you got to make the most of great opportunities. You got to make the most of those great opportunities. You got to seize those opportunities. You got to go for those situations. You got to claim those things that are out there for you. See, here's what I want to make sure you get a picture of. I want to make sure you understand that none of us are great. None of us are. We're born with talents and we're born with abilities and we're born with skills, but none of us come out born great. It's something that we make decisions about, choices about, that we do in our lives that end up making us great. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. Are you making those decisions that make you great? Are you going to be a victim? So aggravated as I watch the news and I watch all these other things on TV, or I hear these stories or somebody's come in talking to me and they're whining about their life situation. And it's because of this, and it's because of this person or that thing, you know, my past, my parents, my job. I've always had one rule in my life. And I get so I'm on a school board and I get so aggravated because if you don't like where you're working, you know what? Go somewhere else. If I don't like what I'm doing, I don't like where I'm at, I'm going somewhere else. Now, just so you know, I haven't always liked being here, all right? But God hasn't moved me, and I don't want to move. Because sometimes sometimes you have those bad spells. Anybody ever get those bad spells? But when you step back and you kind of look at it, you're going, okay, wise decision. Sometimes it's not leaving. You get the picture? See, we got to make those great choices. We got to look at those opportunities that are out there. The problem is, how many of us can sit back and say, if I only would have did this? Anybody want to say something like that? If I would have chose this, Did you know Apple stock 15 years ago was like a dollar? Did you know that Apple stock collapsed at one time? And now if you own Apple stock, it was up to $800 a share. That's some profit. If I would have just, you know, if I would have bought a lottery ticket and bought the right numbers, anybody? You know, my opportunity to become a billionaire just flew by. What are our opportunities? Do you ever look back? So I want to, how do you make those choices? How do you choose what to do? I see, I remember when I started to be a pastor. I'm sitting in my pastor's office. I'm 17 years old. I think I was 19 at that time. I was 19 years old at that time. And it's like, I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know anything about pastor. I'd only been a Christian for 2 years. Like, he's going, okay, you know, well, you can be a pastor. Yeah, do you want to pastor churches in California? I don't plan on leaving California. I mean, I don't know. I said, yeah, I plan on staying in California. He said, well, then go to California schools. So what opportunities do I go? So I go to junior college, and I go to California Baptist College, and I go to Golden Gate Seminary. And opportunities. I look back over the time when I was debating about, Laura and I wanted to have another degree. When I left college, I wanted another degree before I turned 40. It's one of the goals I had. I enjoyed school so much. Anybody? School was fun. Come on now. You know, I enjoyed school so much. I want another degree before I turn 40. And I'm at that age, 35, 36, and Laura and I are talking about it. And it's like, what do we do? And so I put out my applications trying to figure out which school to go to. And my opportunities, I was looking at Dallas Theological Seminary or Fullerton down in Southern California or back to Golden Gate. And I balanced all of these. And the program that I chose, I could customize for me, and I went to Golden Gate. But just before I was going to go, our finances took a bad turn. Anybody been in that boat? Yeah. My finances took a bad turn, and I'm sitting there going, I'm going to have to not go. Laura and I are talking, and Laura's going, just so you know, Laura's going, you're going to go. You're going to go. Laura wouldn't let me drop out. Anybody, you know, you got to have that other person. Remember, you can't do it by yourself. You know? And Laura kept saying, you got to go. You got. And so I did. And so just so you know, I got my doctorate degree a few months, turned 40. The opportunities. How do you make those choices? How do we choose? Look at what it says here, Ephesians 5:16. Make the most of some of your opportunities in these evil days. Is that what it says? Make the most of every opportunity. Like I said, I'm probably, as I stand here, you're probably going through your mind, you're thinking of an opportunity that you missed. If only I had not married Gary. Yeah. No, you guys, but Laura. If only we look back, you probably think of those. How do you make those choices? How do you choose? How do you choose those opportunities that can make you great? What's that decision? And so here I'm going to give you a few. I got six lessons here. I'm going to go through these rather quickly this morning. But I got six lessons to help us make wise choices with our opportunities. Because I want to be great. See, here's what I want to make sure you understand. Great people make great choices with their opportunities, okay? So the first one is this. Say no to good opportunities so I can say yes to great ones. See, you only have, and I only have, so much time and so much energy. You know, I only got 24 hours a day. Anybody got more than 24 hours a day? We only have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's all we have. And so you only have so much, and you only have so much energy. What are you going to do? And so there are going to be some times that you got to say no to even good things. Now, most of us know how to say no to bad things, right? You notice I said know how to. I didn't say we always did. You know, we know we should not be giving in to sin, right? We should not cave in to temptation. We know to say no to those. How do we say no to good things? Let me give you an illustration. I can't sing. Anybody agree with that? Hands popping up. All right. I can't clap and sing at the same time. They laugh at me. Yeah. I can't sing. Now, here's the thing. Could I become a better singer if I took some lessons? Yes. Just if you don't want to have second thoughts. Yes, I could. All right? I could become a better singer. Now, would I ever be a great singer? No. It ain't going to happen. There's no way I would ever be a great singer. So here's my choice. Do I take singing lessons so I can invest my time and energy in becoming a better singer? Or do I put my energy and my time into becoming a better proclaimer of God's word? It would be good to learn to sing better, wouldn't it? It'd make it nicer for you guys. You know, it'd be nice to sing better. That's good. But is that the best use of my time? Just tell you what goes on. Dan will tell you about writing messages and writing sermons. I spent 2 weeks getting ready for my next sermon series. Think about that. I worked 2 weeks just preparing, getting ready for 4 sermons. That doesn't count preparing each sermon now. I'll spend another 10 to 15 hours on each sermon. I spent 1 week getting ready. I'm excited. I got to do a sermon series on your cell. Anybody here got a cell phone? I only got one person with a cell phone in here. Man, I'm in trouble. You know, we all have cell phones, right? Are you really good with it? Do you live on it? I'm going to preach on Christian digital citizenship. All right, I got two. It took me a week to write some message on how you should use your phone. You know, I sat there. I'm working on the sermon. I'm reading the newspaper or on the internet, and some guy walks off a mountain in San Diego because he's playing with his phone. You know, I preach on that. Now, would it be to my advantage? Well, I don't have time to kind of do all that research and get ready. I'm going to go over here and learn to sing better. No. Now, it would be good, and some of you would appreciate it, but it's not a good investment of my time. I've made that choice. See, you got to go back. Is there some good things you need to say no to? Some positive things, some things that would be beneficial, but yet in the long run, in that purpose you have, that purpose that God has for you. See, my purpose is to proclaim God's word. That's what God called me to do. Since I was 19 years old, there's been no doubt in my mind. But see, I want to tell you, God has a purpose for you. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. But see, I believe God calls some people to be school teachers. I believe God calls some people to be bank tellers, store clerks. I believe God calls everybody good men and women. Anybody? See, I believe God calls us to all sorts of jobs. And it's not just spiritual jobs. You know, I think so often we just kind of corner God. God calls you to spiritual things. He does. But he also calls you to careers in life. See, I think God places you where he wants you with your career and the opportunities that you have. I look at our building and I think of how many people that worked on this Christians, and they used their skills and talents to help us build this place that God had given them. See, I believe God uses all of that. So you need to learn to say no to some good things. If you're going to do some great and you want something great in your life, you're going to have to learn to say no. Look at what it says. 1 Corinthians 7:35. I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. So here's my question. What is distracting you from being great? What is those things in your life that maybe it's good, it'd be nice, but in order to become great, you need to put aside. Like I tell people all the time, I am a jack of all trades. I can do just about anything. I can wire, I can plumb, I can do all sorts of things. Now, it might be called what they call Okie style, because I'm an Okie, all right? All right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But I can get it done. All right, I can get it done. So what should I do? Should I piddle with all these stuff? Anybody just piddle around with everything in life and don't go anywhere? Everybody seen a friend like did that? You know, they just kind of piddled here and there all through life. Anything great? I don't want that for you. So here, I'm going to challenge you. What do you need to say no to in order to do something great? What is it you need to set aside in order to accomplish something? That here's this opportunity and you got to make a decision. So sometimes you got to say no to good things. We know to say no to bad things, but sometimes we've got to say no to good things. So just so you know, I will never sing well. It's not going to happen. All right? So what this means is you're going to have to evaluate those choices. That's my next point if you look at your outline there. Every opportunity must be evaluated. You got to step back and think about those. You got to step back and look at those opportunities. But test everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. But test everything. Everything. Keep what is good. Check it out. Measure it. Is it what I should be doing? Is it the best thing for me? Will it help me get to where I want to go? Will it become who God wants me to be? Is it good for my soul? What is it that God wants to accomplish? You need to check it out. So I got three things real quick to kind of help you check it out. What's your motivation? Why do you want to do it? When that opportunity comes, why do you want to do it? Why would I want to be a better singer? You ever sat there as a pastor and you watch some guy get up and he's preaching and he goes into singing a song right in the middle of a sermon? That ain't fair. You know? I bear one gift. And some of you are going, you might not even know if I can preach, but I barely got that gift. And these guys get up there and they're preaching along and right in the middle of the sermon, they start singing. You know? Now, I've quoted songs in my sermon that I'm not singing them. Why? So here's my thing. What's my motivation? Why do I want to be like somebody else? No. And why do you want to do that? What's motivating you? What's calling you to try to do that? You know, you want to make a mark and you want, you know, I want to be bigger. I want to be famous. I want to have wealth. I want this position of power. What's motivating you? Look at what it says, Philippians 2:3. When you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. It's not about you. So what's motivating you? What's pushing you to do that? As you look at choose opportunity. Here's the second one. Does this fit my purpose and calling? Is it a fit? Does it fit my purpose and calling? Let me give you another illustration here for me, for my life. When I came here as pastor, just so you know, psychology was my favorite. I was a religious major, and I loved psychology. I took every extra psychology class I could take when I was down at Cal Baptist. I was two classes short of a double major. And I'm going to tell you, in church, people need counseling. Anybody been married? You need counseling, all right? It's just a reality. You don't go through marriage without needing some help, okay? You know, that's just. And so I looked at it. I thought about going. I went over to Stan State, looked at their program. You know, I went in and took a statistic clock at MJC so I could get right into the program. But here's what I realized. I'd been pastoring for about a year and a half, and I realized, you know what? I can't do that and be a good pastor at the same time. It takes so much time counseling. And so what I tell people now is, I know enough counseling to make me dangerous. And so I'll sit with you once, maybe three times, but after that, let's get some good help. You know, because I don't do it enough to be good at it. You know, I'm not there. So my purpose is over here. My purpose isn't over there. And so I try to get good counsel. I got a, you want a great Christian counselor? Dan Smith is the name. We got a phone number. We have several that go visit him all the time. Dr. Hernandez, right here in town, another great Christian counselor. Why should I try to do something that I have great people to do it? So what's your purpose? What is it that God called you to do? Pursue that. Pursue that training. Pursue those skills. Pursue those talents. Enhance those things. What's that purpose God has for you? Here's what it says in the scripture. But Jesus told him, anyone who let be distracted from the work I planned for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. God has a plan for your life. I want to make sure you get a picture here. Here's my image, okay? Now, I hope to plant this image in your head. Here's my image. Every child, has the breath of God breathed into him for life. You read the scripture and it says, God breathed in, a man became a living soul is what it says. And I believe every child to God, and when God breathed that breath in them, he had a plan and a vision for that life. He had a dream for that life. And I challenge you to find that and make that be your purpose. And don't get distracted with all these other things. It's easy, especially here. You watch TV and, man, you know what? They got 80-inch TVs now. Wouldn't that be nice? Mine is only 60. You know? And now they got 80. Now they got these computers that are 3 times faster than mine. You know, I got an i5, and I want the i7 now. Or, you know, now we got the 6C or D. What is it now? I don't know. F, are they going to keep bending numbers? But I don't know what they're going to do. Do we let ourselves get distracted? What's that purpose God has called you for? And the last one is this. Is this the best use of my energy? Is this the best use of my time and energy? Is this the best use? Like I said, is it the best use for me to learn to sing? Is it the best use for me to learn to be a Christian counselor? What's the best use of my time? Just so you know, I love to come down here on the mornings. I walk down here. I walk into the office, and I get on the computer, and I'm starting to research. And you know, what does it say? How do we deal with cell phones? What are some of the things there? What about next week? I can't wait till next week. I got a week. Dan's preaching next week. I'm going to be suffering in Oklahoma as my daughter-in-law graduates basic training. So Dan's going to preach for you. But after that message, I'm going to do. Anybody ever been hurt by a church? Anybody? Come on now. You guys better raise your hands. If you've been in church for more than a year, you better raise your hand. So you've been hurt by a church? Well, guess what? I'm going to preach. What do you do when you get hurt by a church? How do you handle it? So I got 4 messages on being hurt by a church. I'm looking forward to that. That's the next series. I love going down. Hurt by church. You can't believe some of the stories on the internet. You know, it breaks my heart. It's God's church. He loves and He cares, and so often. Well, we'll get to that later. What's your time and energy? Where do you want to spend your time and your energy? What are you going to invest your time and energy in? Look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:23. I have the right to do anything. I can do anything. Yes, say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is destructive. I need to make wise choices. All right? I need to know how to say no to some good things. And then I need to evaluate my opportunities. What are they like? What are the opportunities? What should I do? How should I respond? What's the best for me? How can I make that decision? I have limited time. I have limited energy. I have limited resources. What's the best? Let's go on. Opportunities come when I least expect them. Most of you don't have a light that says, opportunity ahead. Beep, beep, beep. Pay attention. Here's your opportunity. We don't get those kind of warnings, do we? Opportunities just all of a sudden pop up. Opportunities just all of a sudden. And it's usually when you least expect. I just don't have time. Anybody? I just can't do it right now. You know, they come up. Those opportunities for our lives come up. Look what the scripture says. Pray in the Spirit at all times with all prayers, asking for everything you need to do this. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for all God's people. Always be ready. Never get up. As I read that, you know what I thought? I thought about Boy Scouts. Be prepared. That crossed my mind. Yeah. Are you ready for those opportunities? Are you ready for what God is going to throw your way? Those doors that might lie open in your life. We all have opportunities. I look at our building here. We're sitting here this morning, and we're really blessed, okay? Anybody agree? Sitting in this beautiful facility that God has provided. But you know what? We had to be ready for this opportunity. Because when I came to a building here, you know, and all the stuff going on, and I've told this story in the past, but a lot of you don't understand that when I came, my vision was, we're going to go to the school, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But it's like, how can we do that? A little church running 75, we got 7,500 people at the time, just kind of bouncing around. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? So we took our 50th anniversary. Guess what we did? We did our 50th anniversary at the school. And we learned, guess what? We could do church over there. And then all of a sudden, but we don't have the money, you know, because we're going to have to widen the road. If you guys know the history, this road was not half that wide out there. And our church went out there, and we'd have to widen the road and put curb and gutter sidewalk in. And we'd have to do that in the front, do all that kind of stuff in the front of the church. And there's just no way we had that kind of money, plus to build a building and to do all the work. There's just no way we had all that. But we had this vision. At least I did, and I was sharing with the church. We can do this. We can do this. I don't, you know, and we had this vision. Well, then all of a sudden, guess what? The county comes in and says, we want to widen the road, but we need 15 feet of your land. And I go, well, I'll give you 17 if you put curb, gutter, and sidewalk in and pave it. They said, oh, okay, we'll do that. school comes over and says, we want to put a parking lot out here in the front and fix this all up out here in the front so we can have a drop-off for school because there's not room down there. And can we? And I said, oh, I'm not going to give you the land, but you know what? I'll give you an easement. And so they put 11 parking places out there for free for us. Because we were ready. We had a vision. We had a plan. We couldn't do it. There's no way. There was no way that we were ready. What are you ready for? What have you set yourself up ready for, these opportunities that are coming your way? See, I think God has a plan for your life. Well, I don't think. I know God has a plan for your life. What are you ready for? Least expected. Again, I go back to me. Least expected. Me going to college, least expected. I want to be a sharpshooter on the SWAT team and pick people off. That was my goal. I am serious. I was good with a rifle, and I wanted to be a sharpshooter on the SWAT team and save somebody's life. But you know what? I get to help people. I don't save them. Jesus did, but I tell them the message that saves their life. Now, you get the picture? See, God changed. I didn't expect to go that way. I always think about going back and talking to some of the teachers. I go back and talk to my aunts and uncles and some of my cousins. Did you ever think I'd be a preacher? They didn't even think I'd urge, much less be a preacher. What do you expect? I want to challenge you. What are you expecting? Are you ready? Never give up. Never give up. I love that when I go to take work on my doctorate, we're sitting there in the class, and I'm wondering, am I going to be able to do this? Literally, I'm sitting there with the nine of us sitting around a table. And the professor goes like this. Here's your grade. When you finish the class, every class through the doctorate program, your grade will be pass or do over. And I go, I can do this. I might have to do it over 100 times. It might take a lot, but I'll do it over till I get it right. I like that because then I can, you know what I'm saying? Here's my opportunity. I can do it. The opportunity was always there. I want to challenge you. What do you expect? Are you looking for some opportunities? Are you ready when that door opens up for college, job, for that position in life? Are you ready for those opportunities that are coming your way? Are you ready to see them? Because that brings me to my next one. It says this, I must stay flexible to be ready. You got to be flexible. Most of us, if I had to pick one of these out of the biggest battle for most people in my conversations that I have with individuals, it would be this one right here. Most of them, they see a little bit of them, and they come of them, not all of them, but they catch them. But they don't, I'm going to give you a big word here, a word that people do not like. It's called change. Anybody? We don't want to change. We're comfortable. We're satisfied. We're happy. Don't rock the... Oh, see, you guys know that one. You know? See, I'm afraid to change jobs. I'm afraid to go here. I'm afraid... I look back on my life, and again, I'm just telling my story, and you guys have your stories, and think about your story. I'm 19 years old. I'm 21. Laura and I get married in June. We pack everything we have in a truck, and we drive to Southern California to a campus I'd never seen. I got $1,000 in the bank, and I'm starting college. I got my AA, but I'm starting college with $1,000 in the bank, no job, and only an apartment that I walk into that's got 2 inches of water in the bedroom. Anybody, you guys, I'm not the only one that have those. Am I? You guys have been in those boats. Come on. You know, but you got to be flexible. Are you willing to try? Are you willing to go? Like I said, I get so frustrated when somebody, well, I just don't like my job. Then go somewhere else. It's your choice. You need to know, I have never stayed somewhere I hated. Know that. I've never done things I really hate. Because I'm going to change it. But you got to be flexible. You got to be willing to move. You got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to bend. Look at what it says here. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Don't walk ahead, don't walk behind, but walk with the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit of God. Be fun. Now, have I done some things that I've been uncomfortable with? I'm going to tell you, my first sermon, I was uncomfortable. I hated to get in front of people. Now, you guys wish I'd be back in those days. I prepared this sermon. I worked hard on this message. It was 20-plus minutes. 20-plus minutes I worked on this message. I can still remember this. I worked on this message. 20-plus minutes. I got up. I delivered it in less than 10 minutes crying half the way through it. I now you guys wish I'd go back to those 10 minutes, don't you? You know? But it's our challenge. You know? Would I ever think I was going to get in front of people? No. That was not where I was going. But are we flexible? Can you see yourself with these opportunities? I don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know. I join a church because of my cousins. I get involved with God. And all of a sudden, here's this path. And all of a sudden, I hear a guy talking about being pastors. This God laying on my heart to be a pastor. And then you got to go to college, which I didn't care about. I was going to go in the army and be a cop so I can get out and shoot people. And that was my plan. That was my plan. God changed all that. Through one decision that started when I was 17, that made a difference when I was 19, that made a difference when I was 21. Anybody? We all have those journeys, don't we? It's those opportunities, making those right choices and those opportunities. Flexible. Look again at God's word. He said to another, "Follow me." "Lord," he said, "first let me go bury my father." Anybody ever say something like that to God? "God, I'll do that as soon as I finish. God, when I retire, I'll have more time to give you to serve you in the church. God, when I get this degree, God, I don't have this education. God, I don't have this opportunity. God," you know what's frustrating to me? I sat back and I listened to a lot of preachers on the internet, okay? I podcast a lot of preachers. Andy Stanley, his dad, Charles Stanley's a pastor. Rick Warren, his dad. I know Rick Warren. I know his dad. I fellowship with his mom and dad. They were pastor's kids. I wasn't a pastor's kid. That's not fair. You know? Are we flexible? You know? "God, when I finish school, then I'll have more time. God, when I get this project done, then I can do this for you." Now, you're sitting out there, and I know some of you have said that, okay? I mean, it's the truth. Because that's what we do. What does he say here? Follow me. "Lord," he said, "first let me." Let me. I think that's kind of a contradiction. How can you call God Lord and say, "I need to do this first"? Does that make sense? He's Lord or he's not. I want to challenge you. Are you flexible? "Lord, when I..." Are you saying something like that? Have one. "Every opportunity will have," ooh, "opposition. Every opportunity will have opposition." Anytime you say, "Well, God called me to do this," somebody's going to say, "Are you sure?" I've shared this before with you. I remember sitting on the couch, I'm sitting there in the recliner, and we're talking, I'm getting ready to go off to college, and my mom goes like this, "Make sure you take some extra courses just in case this preaching thing doesn't work out." It's like, you have no idea where I'm going and what I'm doing. My mom was a Christian. Still yet. Even can Christians give you bad advice? Come on now. Understand that. And so sometimes we're going to have opposition. Sometimes people are going to say, "You're crazy." They'll look at you kind of like, "Man, you're whacked out." Anybody ever get those funny looks when you tell somebody, "I feel God leading me to do," and somebody looks at you and goes, "Yeah, you?" There's going to be opposition. And here's the thing about it. Let me add a little more on this one. When you do something for God and you end up in the leader, not only are you getting shot from the front, you're getting shot in the back. Because see, you're out in front. Sometimes those behind you are shooting, accidentally they hit you. But sadly, Sometimes they do it on purpose. Hurt by the Church series coming up. Here, we'll get another plug. You know? Because it happens. There's going to be opposite. When you feel God wants you to do something, there's going to be those that say, you know, going off college. God blesses those who bless others. And I heard all sorts of quotes of what God will do and how God works. And I've had people quote things that they think's in the Bible that's not there. Anybody ever quote something that you think's in the Bible that's not there? Yeah. Listen, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be those times when people do not understand. There's a door and you miss it. Look at what it says. There's a wide open door for a group here, although many oppose me. Just realize there's going to be some throwing cold water on you. I used to have a picture. I wish I could find the picture. It was a picture of a church, and it had somebody on fire for God. You know, a new believer, especially new believers. They're really excited. They're on fire for God. They're ready to tear down the gates of hell like the Bible says we should. And then it has a bucket brigade of Christians with water throwing it on them, trying to cool them down. Sometimes we have anybody ever throw cold water on you when you get an idea that God is leading me and somebody just throws some cold water on you? You're going to have opposition. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. You're going to have opposition. Let me end with this one. Great opportunities bring great responsibilities. Great opportunities bring great responsibilities. When you're doing something and you're making a difference in people's life and you're doing something great, that carries with it a responsibility. Look at what the scripture says. Luke 12:48. Much is required from the person to whom much is given. Much more is required from the person to whom much more is given. I like that. See, we're all blessed. I want to tell you, there's not a person in here who is blessed with talents, gifts, skills, and abilities. Anybody? We're different. We're unique. We're all special. We all have gifts, talents, abilities. I like the word shape that we use in our church. Your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. God has shaped you to serve Him. We all have that. We're all created for great things. Every one of us is. And so with that greatness comes what? A great responsibility. We're going to have to answer for it. There's going to be a day when I stand before God and I have to answer for me being your pastor, for every word that proceeded out of my mouth. Some of those words I pray has covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, and He's kind of erased them with His blood. That's my prayer. Others, I want God to see them, because I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Anybody? See, those opportunities are there for us. Challenge you. What are your opportunities? We all have them. We can walk around and complain. It ain't fair. Well, I'm going to tell you, it is not fair. Life's not fair. Why some preachers can sing and some are like me, I don't know. It's not fair. Why do they get a double gift and I get barely one? That ain't right. It's not fair. I'm going to tell you, life's not fair. Yeah. They had different opportunities. Yeah. But what have I done with mine? With what God has given me? What have I done? So I'm going to ask you, what have you done with yours? Everyone has them. There's some good ones out there that you need to say no to. Okay? There's some good ones out there. You need to say, that's just not the best for me. That's a good idea. That's great, but that's not the best for me. You got to evaluate them, and you got to evaluate them, and you got to see. You got to be flexible. You got to be willing to change, to move. You got to watch those opportunities. You got to be responsible. So I want to challenge you. What are you going to do? See, this morning, I want to say this. This morning, there's one opportunity that every one of us have. I don't know where you're at with God. Here's a scripture. I want you to look at this scripture with me right here. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Some of you need to take an opportunity to get saved today. I'm not talking about saved by drowning. You know, we're going to walk out and you're not going to drown out there today. I'm talking about being saved, getting right with God. You know how I say it in this church, said it every year, all the time, almost every Sunday. God, being a Christian isn't walking it out and shaking the preacher's hand. Hey, glad to. It's not getting baptized. That doesn't save you. I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to be a good person. That won't save you. Those things do not get you into the presence of God. I say it this way. You got to reach a point in your life, something along this line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. Because see, most of us, we control our lives. Are we really happy with them? You know, are you really, you know, I've done good with my life. Look at my life. Most of us would go, no. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. Is that an opportunity you need to take this morning? Just a quick prayer, just a time right where you sit right now. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. That decision, that's an opportunity. Others of you, I want you to look at this next scripture. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Anybody recognize that as Isaiah's call? When God called Isaiah? Some of you need to say yes to God. I don't know what God's called you to do. I don't know where God has led you to do. We got to want us, man. If you're not doing anything else, these little kids are awesome. I love my Awana group. And I got a fun group. You want to do preteens? Yeah. You know, you do 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. They got their own ideas. Yeah. I love it, man. They're great kids. They're great kids. I'm having a great time on Thursday night. But you know what? We need more help. We need more help. Nursery. Children's church. We need, there's all sorts of things. What about your job? I'm going to tell you, wherever you're at, I want to tell you, God can use you wherever you're at as a Christian witness. Anybody? What do you need to say yes to in those opportunities God has given you? What has God given those opportunities that you need to say yes? So I want to challenge you. Maybe something church, maybe something at work, maybe something in your family. What is those opportunities God has given you? So you want a great life? I want it for you. I want greatness. It's not going to be by fame and fortune. I tell people all the time, I've been on the school board 20 some odd years. I can't even remember how many years now. You go look at the plaque over at Dina Bohr and the middle school. My name's on there. It says Gary Dew. I was on the school board when they built the school. Now I tell you what, go take some of those kids and say, hey, look at those names. You know anybody? They're going to go, no. Well, I got my name on a plaque. Whoopee. Yeah. I've got this new house. I got this new car. What greatness do you have? Where can you hang your hat on the greatness in your soul? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you are a God who is great and mighty. That there's not a life in this room, Lord, not a person in this place, Lord, that you did not breathe the breath of life into. And that you do not have a plan for their life. There's a plan for each and every one. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're wrestling with God's plan and maybe you need a wisdom to know it. Maybe you need strength to do it. I don't know what it is. That maybe you need to seize an opportunity. Would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? I see those. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the lifted up hands that represent a heart, that represent a life. They want to be great for you. So, Lord, I ask that you give them wisdom and knowledge in the decisions and the choices that they make. Give them a flexibility to move and to flow, to stay in step with you. Give them the courage to stand against those who oppose them and to follow you, Lord. Fill them with your spirit. Encourage their hearts. Strengthen them physically that they may be your people in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen. We always pause at the end of our service and we give an invitation. Invitation is real simple. It's just a time when I stand here to pray with you. I don't know what God is doing and how it's in your heart. But I'm here to pray with you, to share with you. Maybe you haven't crossed that line. Maybe you have, maybe that opportunity, and you want somebody to pray with you about making that decision about becoming a Christian. I'm here to pray with you about that. Maybe you're wrestling with a calling that God has called you to do something, and you've been wrestling with it, and you just don't know how to handle it. You want somebody to pray with you about that. Maybe there's some other issues in life. Maybe you're just tired. That's a whole series. I'm just tired. I'm here to pray with you. This is your time for God to speak to your heart and for me and our church to serve you. See, to stand, and we're going to sing. And as we sing, you just come. So would you stand and sing, and you come as the Spirit leads.